so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Good morning again, everybody. We're going to start a brand new series today called Prepare. Everybody say prepare. Yeah, and I'm jumping in today. We're normally our campuses, we're about half and half. Half the time we're all synced up. We're all preaching same series, same time. And then the other half of the time, we kind of leave that room open so that we can specifically speak to things that are local, that are here at the local campus. This is one of those series called Prepare. And guess what I'm getting us prepared for? The move. That's exactly right. I want to get us ready. So I want to take these next 4 weeks and really talk about what our future looks like. And I'm excited. How many of you are getting really fired up about the new facility? Yeah. We're going to be posting probably, it may not be next week because of the Mardi Gras breaks, but probably the following week. We've already shot the video for an update on just kind of where the inside looks, and we're walking through it. Now they're putting walls up and things, and I'm blown away. Every time I walk in there, I go, this is really going to be amazing. You are not going to know how to act, and I can't wait for Heidi and I to be there, sitting there and just watching your faces. It's like your children opening up presents at Christmas. You just go, I can't wait. And the joy is watching that. And so thank you again for your sacrifice, your prayers. Keep praying. We need to sell property. So when you drive by, just say, Jesus, sell it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, can y'all do that? So I want to keep you updated so we don't, let's finish this thing strong. And we've got about 20, not including today, after today, 21 more of these. 21 more weeks in Opelousas High School. I said 21 more weeks in Opelousas High School. And we're going to be moving into that new facility. So I want you to, everybody say hope. Yeah, you remember when you hoped for things? You were hoping. Hope is, I hope it happens one day. I hope. And then I can remember hoping when Heidi and I were married, it was one of our hopes one day to have children. And that was a hope. I mean, I was willing to play my part. We were hoping, and I can remember the day that she went into the bathroom and she came out with that thing. Remember girls, the stick. And I remembered it was the right color, I guess. And you go, wow, we are, and there's a word that you use. We call it expecting. It was amazing how one little color from blue to pink or whatever it was, whatever color that was. Do you remember the color maybe? I don't either. It was the right color. And it took you in a moment from one, being in a place of hope, to being in a place of expectation. And expectation is different than hope. Expectation is, I love Philip and Elena. They normally sit over here. They're one of our services. That's Elena's testimony was she was hoping one day her husband would come to church with her. And then she decided that she was going to start saving him a seat even though he wasn't here. That means when somebody says, oh, is someone sitting there? She goes, oh, no, my husband's sitting here. She went from hope to what? Expectation. And once expectation, then you pray different, you act different when you move from hope to expecting something. Once we got the right color, we went from hoping we would have children to starting to pick out the colors for the nursery and all the things. How many remember that? Once you figured out you were really expecting, it put all kinds of things into gear. And so there was doctor visits you had to make. You had to figure out what's all the trappings you needed in order to have a child. You had to get a bed. You had to get a mobile. Do y'all remember mobiles? You cranked it up and it, I don't even know if, kids don't even know what that is, but I think that was for us. We thought, you had to get the right colors. We hung wallpaper. It was the first real test of our marriage, was hanging wallpaper together. We almost got into a cuss fight over wallpaper. Heidi and I cannot hang wallpaper together. We figured that out. This is not a good thing. And so it changed Lamaze classes. I tried it. When she was having Hillary, she's going through the birth pains, and I'm going, come on, baby. And they made me hold a picture. I don't remember what the picture was. I had a picture, and I held it, and I go, he, ho. And she's like, get out of my face. How many know there's a difference when you go from hope to expectation? What do you do? You have to start preparing. And so I want to talk to you about preparation. I want you to look. It has been 9 years this Easter since the beginning of our church. Everybody say 9 years. 9 years. 9 years. Nine is a very significant number in Scripture. We have the fruits of the Spirit, the nine fruits of the Spirit. What does nine mean in biblical terms? And nine actually means finality, to complete something. And so I believe by the Holy Spirit, we're coming to a completion of a season, and there's going to be a brand new season that is going to begin, and it's going to culminate. When we move into the next, it's going to be a brand new season. And I'm praying that not only for our church, but I'm praying that for many of you as well, that you too would step into a brand new season. But you got to be expecting. Are you hearing me this morning? You got to be expecting. So isn't it interesting that a baby stays inside of a womb for nine, everybody say nine. It stays in for 9 months, and then there's a completion, and then there's the birthing. There's a brand new season. And I believe what you're looking at right now is the big fat stomach of a woman ready to give birth to a baby. Are you with me? Are y'all tracking with me this morning? So we're about to step into really some promises from the Lord. It's been a long 9 years. We just met recently with Pastor Chris Hodges. Is it okay if I just talk to you today? I just want to share some things that are on my heart. I'm equipping today. So if you're a first-time guest, I'm sorry. Come back next week. We were just with Pastor Chris Hodges, who just spoke to us a few weeks ago, and he asked me, he said, Pastor, you, by the way, Church of the Highlands gave $25,000 this past legacy offering, sent $25,000. They heard about the match and wanted to be a part of it. That's one of the largest churches in America, sent 25, because they want to be a part of what's happening in Opelousas. So give God glory for that. Thank you. They're invested. And so he wants to know, he goes, where y'all at? When's the building going? He goes, and then he asked me, he goes, how long have y'all been mobile? And I said, well, by the time we move into the church, it's going to be almost 9.5 years. And he goes, you can't do that. And I said, well, where were you two? He goes, you can only do it for 7. And I was like, well, where were you 2.5 years ago? And he said, at the end of 7 years, you'll start leaking energy. You're going to start leaking. And I said, that's where we've been. The last 2 years have been very, very difficult. It's been hard. The energy level, the motivation, if you will. I said, and I'm doing my best. He goes, you can't do anything about it. I said, can you give me some good news? He said, the good news is once you open the building, everybody's going to re-engage again, and you're going to have the energy 5 times of your best day. So I want you to remember, this is the pregnant lady at the end going, I can't take this anymore. But once that baby comes, then the energy level goes back up again. Things start flowing again. I don't need to draw any pictures, right? Everything starts moving again. And so I want you to be encouraged. Do not be weary in well-doing. If you faint not, you're going to reap an incredible reward. It's coming. Amen? So let me jump into the message today. So that's the prelude. That's the pretext. Let me get into it. I want to take you to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at verses 1 through 6. Now, because I'm going to ask you for us to walk out of here in agreement together. Again, what am I doing? I'm preparing. We're preparing. And so I want to talk to you about Ephesians 4. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and I'm going to begin at verse number 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I'm urging you to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received. I'm going to go back to that in just a second. Be completely humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing. Everybody say bearing. Bearing with one another in love. How many of you know when you get down to the end of the pregnancy, the wife is usually not in a good mood? How many of you know there's a lot of bearing with on the husband's part? You got to bear with her. And so I want you to look that even in our world and where we're walking, this is more prophetic than anything, that you're going to have to bear with each other. You're going to have to, everybody say grace. You're going to have to grace one another. You're going to say, they just having a bad day. I'm not going to take offense. You're going to bear with one another. And it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit or the unity of peace. Keep the peace. And he said, there's one body, one Spirit, just we're called one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all, and he is in all. And so I love what Paul says. I want you to live a life that's worthy of the calling. Now, here's what I want you to see. This is chapter 4. Ephesians has 6 chapters. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. First half of the book of Ephesians is different than the second half, 4, 5, and 6. It's almost like it's two different messages, but it's not. The first 3 chapters talks about who we are. Who are we? That's important. Who are we? And I'll just give you the highlights. You've been redeemed. You're a child of God. You're a son of the Lord or a daughter of the Lord. You've been bought with a price. You've been adopted into this family. You are a joint heir with Christ, which means the privileges of being one of his children all belong to you. He has made a sacrifice for you. You are worthy of that. He has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're a child. You're adopted. Even if you feel like you're an orphan, you're not an orphan. That's a lie. You're one of his. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He was laid it all on the line for you. And so he gets you all fired up. Chapter 1, 2, and 3. You're going, oh my God, this is incredible. And then he starts with chapter 4. Therefore, I want you to live a life that is worthy of chapter 1, 2, and 3. It's important that you understand this. 4, 5, and 6, he says, this is how you ought to live. But he doesn't start with how you ought to live. He starts with who you are. That's important. Who are you? He starts with who you are. By the way, religion flips it. Religion flips the chapters and says, no, keep my commandments. Do the right thing. You got to live a way. Did you go to church this Sunday? Because you didn't get your star. And if you do all that, then God will call you worthy. Then he'll love you. Then he'll take care of you. If you take care of chapters 4, 5, and 6, it flips it. That's not what God does. He wants you to know who you are first, despite anything you ever do. Are y'all tracking with me? By the way, how many of you have ever read the scripture, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? By the way, that's not how God said it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's religion. That's not how God said it. In fact, this is what God was saying, Jesus was saying when he said it. Hey, don't worry about my commandments. Because if we're in love together, you'll keep them. You won't even have to try. In fact, I love the translation of this new translation that's out. By the way, I want to encourage you. Pastor Jacobs encouraged all of us to read the Bible out of this brand new translation called the Passion Translation. Heidi's been on it for a while. I'm kind of late to the game. But he goes, read it. It's like reading the Bible again for the first time. Let me give you that passage, John 14, 15, in the Passion Translation. Loving me empowers you to keep my commandments. So where's the emphasis? Is it on the commandments or loving God? The emphasis is on loving God. Because if you just love God, the commandments, you're going to try to do, you're going to fulfill all them. And when you don't, you're going to repent really, really quick because you really, really love God. Are y'all tracking with me so far? So here's Paul. Live a way that's worthy of chapters 1, 2, and 3. Again, chapters 1, 2, and 3 aren't at the back of the book. They're at the front of the book, and they're at the front of the book for a very good reason. He wants us to know who we are, who our identity is in Christ. Then he's going to say, because of that, then here, make sure you're following and behaving in such a way that's not going to be a deterrent to others coming to know Christ. Are you with me? Okay, so watch what he goes on to say. He goes on to say, in the same chapter, he goes on to say, look, I want to just let y'all know, Jesus died, but he was also resurrected. And when he did come to this earth, lived here, died, and when he went back to heaven again, when he was resurrected, he gave gifts to men. He's going to give you some gifts. Jesus left you and me some gifts. Jesus left us some gifts. Have you ever been given something as a gift? There was a man in our church years ago. They've since moved to another city, but he used to give me. He was a very wealthy man, and we were about the same size. Well, he was a little heavier than me, but I could tailor his stuff. You know, I could go to the tailor. He would give me all of his hand-me-downs, and they were like shirts that were $150, like really nice shirts. And then he gave me shoes that I could never afford to buy. And he gave me a pair of black alligator skin dress shoes, like handmade, tailored, $1,000 pair of shoes. They were fly. And I would wear them. I wore them all the time. Anytime I wore a suit, which we don't wear suits that often, a funeral or whatever, I would wear those alligator shoes. They were black. I mean, I was looking fly. How many of y'all are clothes hounds? You like clothes and that kind of stuff. I mean, I was looking fly. How many of you know when you have a gift from here? You know, I took care of those shoes. They were never not shiny. He saw me in them all the time, and he'd like, got my shoes on. I said, look at them, boy. He said, they ain't never looked that good before. How many of you know that was important? Because the way you took care of the gift was honoring to the gift giver. Right. So watch what Jesus does. He's going to give you some gifts. And by the way, y'all have done fantastic at this. I want you to know that. I want you to know Heidi and I are both honored by you, but I want you to see this. Watch what these gifts are. It's found in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Watch. And here's the gifts. And he appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. Those are the gifts: apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. By the way, do y'all know which one of those five I am? Anybody guess? Am I apostle, prophet, pastor? Most of you agree. So go, I have the gift. I didn't do anything to get it. To pastor people. That's my gift. To pastor. Where did the gift come from? It came from Jesus. He gave it to you. Ta-da. I'm your gift. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. I'm your alligator shoes. God gave you. By the way, and I want to say on behalf of Heidi and I, y'all have been amazing at tending to, taking care of, keeping that gift shiny with your encouragement, your prayer, your love, your honor. There is not one complaint that I have towards you, and I think that honors God. When you honor the gift that God gave you, you're really honoring God, and I want to say well done to you. Well done. Great job. Awesome. Y'all are amazing. Keep us on your prayer list. Pray for us. Recognize, realize, wait a minute, that's my alligator shoes. Keep them shiny. Take care of it. Look after it. And the way you can do that is by your encouragement and your prayers. Pray for us. Don't miss a time where you go, and Lord, at the end, I don't care if we're at the end. I don't care if we're first, just as long as we're in there somewhere. And Lord, one more thing. Please help Pastor you and Miss Heidi. Be with them. Watch over them. Take look after them. Speak to them. Are y'all with me? So watch what he says. And then he says, these gifts, he says, they're calling. My calling, Heidi's calling, is to nurture and what? My job, my calling is to nurture and to prepare you. Well, I thought your job was to come visit me in the hospital. I'm going to ask you for something today. I got 11 minutes to do this, so let me. So let's just talk about it. What, nurture. What does that mean? To nurture you. That is the process of encouraging growth and development in you. That's what it means to nurture something, to encourage, to be a part of the process of caring for and encouraging the development of something or someone, to make sure you're being developed. Everybody say developed. That's so, and what's the primary way I do that? The primary way I do that is by praying for you, preaching to you, teaching you, and leading you. That's the primary way. What's my calling? To pastor. And what is my responsibility? To nurture and to prepare. Let me give you a real life story that happened several years ago. I pulled up to a harvest festival that we were preparing for. I pulled up to it just as they were finishing setting it all up. It was all done. In other words, the labor was done. And I pulled up, and one of our, bless his heart, gentlemen, said, oh, you pulled up at the right time. I said, what do you mean? He said, where were you this whole day we were out here setting up? And I said, what do you mean? Well, shouldn't have you been out here setting up all this stuff? And I said, I've been out on harvest festivals for years setting up stuff. And then I pointed over, I said, you see that man right over there? And I pointed to Josh Mesa. I said, you see that man right there? He is in charge of this event. He is the leader. If I would have showed up earlier, I would be the leader. And if I show up and be the leader, then he can't become a leader because I'm the leader. So I want him. The reason why I'm not here is not because I'm lazy. The reason why I'm not here is because he has to learn how to lead. And if I'm here, I'm the leader. I didn't show up on purpose so he could lead and you could follow his direction. Because my job is to nurture and to prepare other leaders so they can lead. Are y'all tracking with me? So not only is it to nurture, it's to prepare to make somebody else ready, a Josh, to deal with or to do something to make sure that he's ready. And that's my role, to nurture and to prepare. So are y'all tracking with me so far? So if we're going to reach more people, because you go, well, what are you nurturing and preparing us for? Well, then the scripture does say something. Watch this. And their calling, mine, pastor, is to nurture and prepare all the, just look at your neighbor right now and say, what's up, holy believer? Y'all are the believers. He says, hey, holy believer, to do their works of ministry. Wait a minute. My work is to nurture and to prepare you to do your work. Everybody say work. Oh, do y'all know what work is? Work is what? Work. Work is work. Work's work. Work, work. You got to work. Sometimes, how many of you enjoy going to work? How many of you sometimes you don't enjoy going to work? When you know what's coming up, you go, I mean, you know, one day I was laying in bed. I said, you going to church today? And I said, I ain't going. She goes, you got to. You're the pastor. It's work. Sometimes it's just work. You gotta work. So I have a responsibility, nurture, prepare. And then you also have a responsibility. Listen to me. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. According to the scripture, I know you're going, yeah, pastor, you need to do your job. Nurture and prepare us. To do what? Work. Work. Watch this. So you have it, your own works of ministry. Let me give you just two quick thoughts when it comes to that. What does that really mean, take responsibility? Number one is, I'll just tell you, it means to take responsibility. Take responsibility for your church, your work. This is your church. I've corrected many of you many times. You go, pastor, you know, your church. I go, it ain't my church. It's not my church. Well, whose church is it? It's our church. It's your church. It's as much your church as it is my church. If something ain't right at your church, you take responsibility for it. I so appreciate it. I don't know if y'all ever, I'm going to brag on him. I don't see him here. Dr. Williams. Dr. Ray Williams. Anybody know Dr. Ray Williams? Okay, Dr. Ray Williams, if you ever see him, he wears scrubs all the time except for Sunday mornings. Even just for normal wear. And on Sunday, sometimes he wears scrubs. If he's on call or he's got to make call after service, he wears them. Be careful if you ever hug him because his pocket can be full of cigarette butts. After he smokes, he puts them out and puts them. No, I'm teasing. Dr. Ray will get out of his truck on our car on Sundays and walk the parking lot and pick up cigarette butts at Opelousas High School and put them in his pocket and forget that they're in his pocket and come to church. So if you smell smoke on him, it's not because he's been smoking. It's because his pocket is full of cigarette butts because it's his church. It's his work. You ought to put your hands together for Dr. Ray. All right. It's to take responsibility. Yeah. To take responsibility. And so Pastor Nick tells a story of a meeting. He's a pastor of our Midtown campus. He was in a store in town in Lafayette, and there was a lady that he did not know that attends his church. And as our church gets large, it's sometimes difficult when we see you at a different venue to recognize you. So if you ever see that, help us, and you can do this by doing this. Go, just walk up and go, hi, my name's Sue, and I attend the church at the Opelousas. If you'll do that, that'll help us out a lot, because sometimes we go, hi. And there's people that don't attend our church that go, hey, because they're just nice, and I think they attend our church, and they don't, right? So I go, hey, what's up? Praise the Lord. And they're like, what? So you could help us if you see us. Just come, I'm Sue and I attend the church. That would help us. And so Pastor Nick was in a store like that, and a lady comes up and goes, "Hey, Pastor Nick, you're my pastor, and Midtown's my church." And so he's talking to her, and then he says, "That's awesome. What small group are you in?" She goes, "Oh, I'm not in a small group." And he goes, "Oh, okay. Well, I mean, are you serving on the dream team?" She goes, "Oh, no, I don't. I'm not serving at my church yet." And then he goes, "Well, have you gone through Grow Track yet?" She, "Oh, no, I just have, no." And then finally he just went, "Well, can I say something to you? It's not really your church until you're willing to take responsibility for your church." Are y'all? I haven't made y'all mad yet, have I? No, because listen, there has to at some point be an agreement with one another that we're laying out expectations of each other. Vic's going to help me. Let me just say this, and I'm going to rephrase Sir John Lawrence's statement. He says, "What do churchgoers really want? They want a building they like, a pastor they approve of, service that makes them comfortable, and to be left alone." If that's what you're looking for, this won't be your church. Can I get an amen? Watch this, listen. Because every believer, so number one, it's expectation on you. You have an expectation on me. You can have this biblical expectation. Pastor Yu needs to do his calling, which is to nurture, encourage us to grow and develop. And number two, he needs to prepare us for works. I have a job. You can expect that from me. That is a righteous expectation you can have of me. But I should also be able to have an expectation of you. Are y'all with me so far? Are you okay? To go, no, you got to take responsibility. Well, I thought that was the pastor's responsibility. If I take your responsibility, then we've reached the pinnacle of all God wants to do in our church. This is it. We made it. I don't believe that, do you? I believe we're just getting started. I believe the baby ain't even born yet. I believe we just a big pregnant stomach sticking out there. And I don't mean big in a bad way, girls. Y'all know what I mean. We love you. I mean, we think it's awesome when you're pregnant. I know you don't, but we do. I don't know. That was free, by the way. I don't. Somebody need to hear that. Every believer, holy believer, needs two things. They need a friend, a godly friend, and they need a God job. It's all you really wanted. It's all you've ever really wanted was a God friend that can encourage and strength, two's better than one, trying to get to the same place, and then a God assignment, something that you were doing for kingdom's sake that's not about you. Can I just tell you, some things won't even fall off of you. "Well, I still got these struggles, and I would go through Grow Track, but I ain't there yet." Can I just tell you something? Some things won't ever fall off of you until you start taking responsibility. And once you start taking responsibility, then, are y'all tracking with me? Paul, you hearing me back there? I see you back there. I just want to make sure you're hearing me until you do it. So let me play out the reality of what that could look like in the future. Dwayne could visit you in the hospital and not me. Doesn't mean that I don't want to come. Look at me. As our church gets bigger, it's impossible. It's impossible for me to come to every hospital visit. It's impossible. What do you really want me prepared to do? I want you nurturing and I want you preparing. It happened in the New Testament. The Greeks come and go, "Hey, all the Greek girls, single mamas and widows, are being overlooked for all the Jewish girls. How come all the Jew girls get all the fresh food and the Greek girls aren't getting? And do you think, did the apostles go, you know what, we're going to start serving the Greek girls? That's not what they said. They said, we got to stay praying and the word, but we're going to nurture and to prepare some godly men that will take that responsibility so all the needs can be met in the kingdom. Are y'all tracking with me? It could mean Dwayne could come visit you and not me. It could be that Danny might meet with you to go through a financial difficulty that you're having. It could mean that Burgess and Kathy might meet with you to do your premarital counseling. It could mean that Kevin might officiate your wedding. It could mean that Melanie may minister to your children in the nursery. It could mean that Tim and Tamika might lead you through freedom or through a very difficult situation that you're walking through. It could mean that Judith answers the questions about what's coming up at the church and not Pastor you. It could mean that Pamela may walk your family through a crisis. It could be et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because my job is to nurture and to prepare you to do works of service that advances the kingdom. Are y'all with me? So you don't, in fact, I would say to you, listen, if you're in the hospital and you need a miracle, you don't really want me to come pray for you. You want Dwayne to come and pray for you. I promise you. If you're going through financial difficulties and need some help with a budget, you do not want me. I am budget illiterate. You want somebody else that's an expert in that area who are doing works of service. It's more powerful. And by the way, if you'll receive them as one that was sent, it's like receiving from the very one who sent them. They walk with the same anointing passion. Are y'all tracking with me? If you call the office and we go, hey, did you talk to your small group leader first? And they go, no, I ain't talking to them. No, you just bypass the very thing, allowing somebody to do the work of ministry that God anointed them to do. Are y'all checking with me? So I want you to see how this all is going. Because I'm preparing you for something. What you're preparing us for. When we open the building, it's going to be harvest time. I'm preparing you to get ready for harvest time. And you go, whoa, what do I need to do? Well, if you haven't been to a small group yet, you need to get in one. It's not too late. They already started. I don't care. Get on. Get in. If you haven't gone through Grow Track yet, we have one coming up on Saturday. I need you to go step, take that next step, go through it. You can register today at O-Town Info. Go see Miss Judith and her girls. You go take that next step because you have a responsibility. I'm not growing in the Lord. You know the only way I figured out to get my children to grow? Mature. The only way we got our kids to mature is by giving them responsibility. How do you think God gets us to mature? By giving you responsibility. It's called work. You can have an expectation on me and Heidi as long as it's right. And that expectation is I expect my pastors to nurture us and to prepare us. And then we get to have an expectation on you that you would be willing to take next steps and begin to take responsibility and put your hands to the work. If we all do that, then I love this. And I'm going to finish right now. I've got to pray because we're already over time. Look, Matthew chapter 9. Jesus traveled through all the towns, villages, and area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. and he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion, the crowds, because they were confused, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is what? The harvest is great, but the... What's my expectation on you? Work. To work. He said, but the workers are few. And then he said, so pray that the Lord that's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send his workers into the harvest field. I'm just getting you ready. This is week one. We'll pick up next week. Do y'all receive this word today? Do you receive it? Balcony, y'all receive the word? Y'all receive it? Tommy, you receive it? Okay. Is that affirmative? I can't. Yeah, okay, that's good. I thought you were doing this, like loser. You're not a loser. Let me pray for you, Father. Today, Father, you're just equipping us, getting us ready for something that's coming. That's my job. That's my calling. But Father, I also pray that those that are listening understand their calling. It is to have their own work of ministry. Their own work. It can be parking cars, be on the parking team. It could be on the setup team, the breakdown team. It could be ushering, nursery workers. And Father, these opportunities, these next steps, that they would take their very next step, because we're getting ready for something. We see it coming. We're expecting. And so, Father, I pray that each one here, that you would even convict our hearts. If we're not where we need to be, that you would convict us to take the next step. And so, Father, I know you're going to do your work, and I know they're going to receive it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you might be here today far from God. I want you to know he loves you. He cares for you. He's not mad at you. He wanted me to tell you today he really, really, really loves you. And he came to give his life, to die on a cross. We received communion earlier to pay for your sin. Jesus said you can't enter the kingdom or see the kingdom until you've been born again. Christians, would you pray for your row right now? And maybe you're here today and you're far from God. You need to be born again. Not christened or baptized, those are all good things. But have you been born again? And I'd like to give you that invitation to be born again. It's as easy as A, B, and C. Admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned, fallen short of God's glory. B, believe that Christ came to be the sin payer, the substitute, to take away your guilt, your sin, and your shame. And C, confess him as Lord. I want to pray for you today. If that's you today, this is your invitation to be born again. I want to pray for you right now. Would you just hold your hand up high and say, Pastor, I need to be born again today. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Anybody in the room? Anybody? One more second. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Thank you. Congregation, let's pray with this. These, would you say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise for that?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.